The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library. Before we begin tonight's reading, dear guests, we are beyond pleased to take just a moment to introduce you to our friends from the UK, Cautionary Tales with Tim Harford.
The Knights of France had every reason to feel confident. Resplendent in their fine armor, astride their great steeds, they belonged to the greatest army in medieval Europe. They'd crushed every enemy they'd met on the field of battle, so an upstart band of English invaders stood little chance. Except those French noblemen ended the day defeated. Their horses shot out from under them, drowning in mud and their own blood. History is littered with tragic stories such as this, stories we could all learn from and apply to our daily lives. I'm Tim Harford, and on March the 25th, I'll be returning with all new cautionary tales, drawing out valuable lessons from the greatest mistakes, disasters, and fiascos of the past. Every other Friday, I'll transport you back in time. Together, we'll find out why a tiny change in a hotel's blueprints went unnoticed, sending tons of concrete, steel, and glass crashing down on guests. We'll watch as an airline captain lets his child play with the controls of a packed passenger jet, gambling that the autopilot will save them all from doom. And we'll have a front row seat as an award-winning choreographer and a rock music megastar come close to opening the worst Broadway musical of all time. These new cautionary tales will explore the extremes of human behaviour and the extremes of what nature can throw at us too. We'll swelter as a deadly heatwave descends on Chicago, killing some residents, but oddly, sparing their near neighbours. And then we'll shiver as we follow two very different men competing to reach the South Pole. An awful trek, well deserving of the title, The Worst Journey in the World. In addition, I've created 5 cautionary tale shorts available exclusively to Pushkin Plus subscribers. To hear these smaller but still perfectly formed stories about deadly rail disasters and killer computer viruses, sign up for Pushkin Plus on the show page in Apple Podcasts or at pushkin.fm/plus. Be they long or short, I promise you that some of my stories will delight you, others may scare you, but all of them will make you wiser. So join me every other Friday from March the 25th onwards for Cautionary Tales. Find us on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Madam, this bequeathment of Netherworld horses is turning into a nightmare. Why are you laughing? This is serious.
Horses, nightmare. It's the perfect pun. So cute.
There's nothing cute about 6 demon horses galloping through the tunnels below the library and filling them up with road apples. We need stables built pronto.
Well, we'd better send out some feelers for a carpenter and a stable hand. Do you know of anyone suitable?
I'm afraid I have to say, nay. Oh, I see. It's not funny now.
Please see our guests in. Well, good evening, Mr. Mason. Yes, I do hear rumbling. From below? Yes, I am aware of it. It's due to the unfortunate placement of the library when it was built. The plans mentioned something about intersecting fault lines or plate slippage or fiery molten hell pits, stuff like that. Nothing to be done about it now, though. Please find yourself a seat. Welcome back to the Midnight Library, everyone. I am your hot-blooded host, Miranda Merrick. Whilst we line up at the starting gate, but before we are off to the races on our reading on haunting horses. Please let me begin tonight by extending our heartfelt gratitude to all of you who attended the festival in Phantom Forest a week or so ago. Many have asked where we got our cast of magical characters and acrobatic talent, and we won't be answering these questions due to it being no one's business. We are particularly grateful to those of you who attended the festival and willingly signed the annex petition so we could overpower... So we could overtake the neighboring properties. We're yet to inspect our takings just yet, but the plan is that we're to acquire 13 acres to the southeast of us, which contain the historic Wilson estate, that huge mansion that's been in their family for, quite long enough. Anyway, I'm sure they'll all be much happier moving elsewhere. Oh, and we're also to acquire 13 more acres to the southwest, which includes a very old and supposedly sacred cemetery. And it has a pretty park with a grand honorary statue of the alleged founder of the village, Father Frederick Feckles, which will have to be taken down and pulverized because the actual founder was a several times great-grandmother of mine, the fabulous Glenda Gilardi. And you'll be elated to hear a new statue of her in her deserved honor is to be erected. See? We all win. And I suppose we should address the rumor that purportedly, and I'm not sure if I even believe this, purportedly several attendees of the festival, six, I guess, went missing and didn't return home afterward. I remind you that we are not responsible for grown people who choose to enter our property or where they go afterward. There's even been a little tittle-tattle that it was only those who neglected to sign the annex petition who disappeared. Now how could that be? Who could even know such a thing? That would take an act of God or some other unimaginably attractive, powerful being to know just who signed and who didn't, and then to somehow zap the worthless carcasses of those who didn't sign into oblivion, causing them not to be found. I'm sure we none of us know anyone like that. Those missing people probably ran away from home to another village where snarky people don't make up such silly things about them. That's what I would do. Well, let's stop horsing around and get back in the saddle, shall we? I won't say giddy up, I promise. Just one more thing. I am aware that there's a little teasing that goes on amongst you when anyone who wasn't raised to be in the possession of ponies or horses learns of someone who was. I was fortunate enough to have been raised in the company of horses, and I am an accomplished rider. Anyone who would like to tease or taunt me for being spoiled because of this can see me alone afterward, and we'll just see how that goes for you. In fact, I feel compelled to say that having enjoyed so much preparing this sumptuous equestrian material for you for tonight's reading, that I may well return to my former love of keeping lovely horses and the hobby of horseback riding. We'll see. Now, I think it is safe to say that since the very first human-like creatures began thinking, that they were thinking about horses. Depictions of graceful horses on rough cave walls are some of the earliest known artistic displays created by some of the earliest known hominids. The two beings seemed destined for one another. It's a commonly accepted fact that humans and horses together help to modernize society and to elevate civilization. Horses enabled humans to travel, to explore, to hunt, to gather, and to work and compete, even becoming beloved pets as well as valuable livestock. But tonight, we're here to hear about horses that weren't loving family pets, not by any home stretch of the imagination. Because just as there have been evil gods, evil spirits, and evil humans, running right alongside all of these have been wickedly evil horses. And it is with unbridled joy that I am pleased to introduce you to just a few of them and their steadfast foothold in folklore. Let's first travel into unfamiliar, inhumane territory. Underwater. You may be trotting ahead of me and begun to envision beautiful, tranquil seahorses in the ethereal company of glittering mermaids or the brawny sea god Neptune. But this is a horse of a different color. Size, shape, nature, temperament, and determination. The Kelpie is a supposedly mythological horse, a so-called water horse from Scotland, said to inhabit the shores of secluded lakes and rivers. Most accounts describe this watery equine as being a slick jet black in color. Some old books here proclaim outright that the Kelpie is not a horse at all, but is instead a demon in the shape of something humans love, a horse. Other writings give the horse a softer, more gentle nature, with tales of the being as one from sunken fairy realms and of no worrisome concern, as the shape-shifting fairy horse is perhaps nothing more than a playful imp. Supposedly, if you were clever enough to recognize this horse, with its mane that's always damp or dripping, and smart enough to outwit it and capture it, you could put its magical powers to work for yourself. The fairy breed of this horse is said to be as strong as 10 normal horses combined, so if you could somehow manage to bridle the sprightly equine, it would be under your command. All of your hauling, journeying, and plowing would be done in a flash, as the fairy horse could complete any task in a blur of speed. Well, that sounds nice. However, the more popular version of this horse, at least more popular with us anyway, is the creeping, drifting underwater creature in search of human flesh. This darkly dazzling horse is said to haunt the beaches and banks of lonely waterways, rising out of the shimmering water as a wondrous sight to both adults and children, enticing them to draw nearer with its friendly, curious way. Some legends paint the mysterious horse as having a preference for groups of children playing unattended by the water's edge, captivating their attention in a playful, wholesomely tame way, by bowing its head, inviting the children to climb up onto its back. Once the little ones are all lined up upon the Kelpie's back, it instantly plummets beneath the water in a flash, happily drowning each youthful rider. So, ironically, I guess we could say that this horse leads you to water and can absolutely make you sink. There are some glorious variations to the Kelpie's description. In addition to being glossy black in color, the horse is sometimes described as having the scales of a fish, or the back half or underwater portion of the horse as having the tail of an enormous monster fish, enabling it to charge quickly into the depths of the deadly waters. This half-fish portrayal of the horse may be likened to, or even derived from, the ancient Greek and Roman hippocampus, the fish-tailed horse of the sea, said to pull the chariot of the mighty sea god Poseidon, and to ferry beautiful nereids or sea nymphs, often depicted nude or draped in gowns reclining upon its back. One common giveaway that you are seeing a devilish kelpie splashing merrily in the shallows? Their hooves are reversed, completely backward from that of a normal horse. There's even lore that portrays the murderous horse's mane as being made of mingling serpents, one might guess to dissuade any doomed rider from hanging on. One last endearing quality of the Kelpie? It is said that even if you are only enticed to pet the glistening inky beast, your hand or even the tip of your finger will bond immediately to the Kelpie's coat, and you'll be dragged to your watery grave. Well, I say watery grave, but apparently the truth is the Kelpie devours you, or most of you, and sometimes slings your unwanted entrails onto the shore from which you were plucked. Now that could be considered a courtesy, right? Well, I think so. If you went missing, and they found a load of guts on the shore, well, your loved ones could stop worrying and wasting their time looking for you, right? So, a courtesy, yes, for certain. Do you know, it's just occurred to me that I could not tell you honestly that I do not know for certain that something like this, of an unpopular nature with some, might or might not inhabit Peril Pond. I mean, given the name, there must be something questionable going on with it. The exact history of our property is, hazy. I only make the long journey out there myself when absolutely necessary. Now, if I could ride out there more quickly on the ground, I probably would. Anyway, I have for you next a horse that hails from an ancestral homeland of mine, Ireland. But first, a message from tonight's sponsor. Tonight's reading at the Midnight Library is brought to you by Father Philbrook's Funeral Secret Service, where your true afterlife wishes are guaranteed. Why should the fun end just because your life has? For a nominal fee, Father Philbrook can make your funeral the supernatural spectacle it should be. Basic package includes 3 adult witches who will attend your calling hour services. The 3 witches will be dressed in their finest black attire, including proper pointed witch hats. They will make 1 pass by your open casket, chanting and spitting at your resting corpse, then retreat to the rear of the room to chant and hiss for the duration of the service. Upgraded package includes the 3 adult witches will also attend your graveside services. They will pace in a circle around your grieving friends and relatives, chanting louder and louder until your eulogizer is completely drowned out and or is brought to tears. Ultimate package includes the 3 adult witches will split into 6. They will attend your graveside service, surround your casket, and prevent anyone else from getting near it, They will march in time around your casket, deep in a trance state, hexing or blessing your loved ones, your choice. Anyone who dares to interrupt the witches will find their mouths filled with the soil you're to be buried in. For a small extra fee, the witches will kick your casket into your grave, sending you to your eternal rest. Put the fun back in funeral with Father Philbrook. Call today to arrange a funeral they'll never forget. Call 666-LASTLAF. That's 666-LAST-LAUGH. Now, just as any truly enchanting mystery should be, the genuine nature of this Irish horse will likely forever remain unknown. Truth be told, the nameless horse is more of a trope or metaphorical in its way. There are two famously haunting old stories that work to this day because of this horse. The first is that of the Doolahan, the infamous headless horseman. The horse being the clamorous partner and mode of transportation for the Doolahan. Admittedly, the horse is the lesser character of interest in this timeless tale of doom, but I submit to you, dear guest, that without the horrifying horse, the headless horseman wouldn't be nearly as impressive. Briefly, the Doolahan is a wonderfully dreadful character from the Irish fairy realm, known for flying on horseback through the countryside in black flowing robes. The headless rider is the harbinger of death. In some tellings of the dooming tale, it is the horse that is headless. The Doolahan, seated upon the sturdy back of its pitch-colored steed, carries his severed head beneath his arm. At any time, he may halt his snorting horse by any door he chooses. Shortly after he is seen, death will come to someone in that house. In a more dramatic telling, the Doolahan can be seen tearing through any village or pastoral landscape on his beastly, hellish horse, holding his cut-off head high in the air by its hair, turning it to look far into the distance for the person who is next to die. There are even accounts of the headless Doolahan lifting his rotted head high up and the disembodied head shouting out the name of the death-destined person, then jump-starting his malevolent charger with the crack of an ashen whip made from a human spine. The black and burly horse that bears the Doolahan is said to be a fright for anyone to see, with flaring nostrils, glaring red, or even flaming eyes, and seeming far more demon than horse by anyone who sees it. A horse or team of horses of a similar breed is that of the one said to pull the Coist Bidar, or death coach. I should like to say that long, long before automobiles, which at first were referred to as horseless carriages, before automobiles were the norm, horse-drawn carriages were everywhere, including here in our charming village. Hearing the sound of galloping horses with a rattling carriage or cab in tow was often the urgent sound of someone's fate playing out. Now, it could be the hurried and merry sound of a new bride and groom heading off on their honeymoon. But chances were back then, it was something more dire. A country doctor racing up with his pony and trap to try to save the eye dangling out of your head that he heard about 2 days ago. In Irish folklore, the sound of the speeding wooden wheels of the death coach meant that someone was about to die, and the last thing you wanted was for it to stop in front of your house. So, when the clatter of the horse-led coach was heard, It was said that you should race to open any gate and remove any blockage from in front of the ominous carriage to let it quickly pass you by without a loss. And back then, once the Grim Reaper had paid you a visit, and you had sloughed off your mortal coil, it was the Death Coach, a solemnly outfitted horse and carriage, festooned in black ribbons, that soberly delivered you, tucked in your casket, to your grave. The gloomy funeral wagon and its team of cheerless horses, adorned with black ostrich plumes on their foreheads, was driven by a sullen coachman, who sat perched upon the driver's seat of the coach, dressed in a fine morning suit, complete with a top hat ringed with a flowing black bow. This was my grandfather's post of employment in these times. You may remember, we still have the coach. Which reminds me. Before you leave the library tonight, dear guest, you'll be asked to fill out a harmless little index card for us, a guest survey of sorts. It will only take a few seconds and will not be shared with anyone else, ever. Irma will pass out the cards to you, and you'll see the few basic questions and blanks for you to fill in. In the top section, you'll be asked for simple information, such as your full name, height, weight, blood type, overall body type, muscular, voluptuous, etc., and your next of kin. The bottom section is for interlibrary purposes only and should be left blank. So, where it reads infraction, mishap, silent grudge, action, parts list, and mouthfeel, please don't write anything down there. Just ignore that part. This survey, questionnaire, is likely to go unneeded for sure, but is for your protection. Should any misfortune befall you whilst attending readings here inside or on the grounds of the Midnight Library, it will serve to protect you in the unlikely happening of such an event. But should anything happen, we will strive to be, and most certainly appear to be, 100% helpful and cooperative with any authorities who might unfortunately be informed about your supposed adversity. We don't want you to go missing like the recent obstructive supposed six. That would be unfortunate. Thank you for your kind cooperation, dear guests. It's nice to know we're all on the same side of safety.
Dear Midnight Library guests, as a special treat, we would like you to meet some friends of ours. Don't laugh, we have friends. When we're not here, or we've locked you out, you know you needn't go without. With tales of warning and tales of woe, cautionary tales is where you can go. From murders to mummies to curses and plots, to hijackers, forgers, and diseases of rot, there's royalty, hoaxes, and epic fails. You'll absolutely love Cautionary Tales. Cautionary Tales by Tim Harford and Pushkin Industries is a richly produced thrill ride we highly suggest you take. Cautionary Tales is available on all major platforms. Did that Russian pilot really let his child fly the plane? Oh, no! Now, let me get down off my high horse and return to our reading. An inquisitive guest of ours once wisely asked, "Are these horses inherently evil, or were they made evil by wicked forces?"
Now that, dear guests, is a question that is likely to remain unanswerable for all of eternity. Are you intrinsically good or evil? Or are you made each way by unseen forces? Let me pose a much more easily answered question for you. How long should a racehorse's legs be? The true answer is just long enough to reach the ground. Instead of contemplating the nature of devil horses, let us talk of horses and the devil, and a little bit about the lore of horses and luck. You may not see many horseshoes around these days, certainly not in the numbers you might have in the past, but the famous metal shoes being a circular shape with a gap that are nailed harmlessly into the thick keratin of the horse's nails or hooves to protect their feet have long been considered to be powerful objects of luck and protection. One old chestnut from the shelves here tells of St. Dunstan, who outsmarted the devil. In centuries past, Dunstan was a blacksmith and farrier known for his exacting abilities to both make and carefully fit and nail horseshoes lightning fast onto the feet of horses. He was famous for his meticulous craft. So famous, in fact, that the devil himself paid him a visit, demanding new shoes for his horse. Dunstan dutifully prepared to do as he was asked, laying out his horseshoes and tools as the devil hung over his shoulder, watching his every move, literally breathing down his neck. Dunstan, who was supposedly a very pious and clever man, used the close proximity of the devil to his advantage. He quickly reached back and grabbed the devil's leg. In a flash, he nailed a horseshoe onto the devil's own foot. The devil screamed in agony, leaping about on his shoeless foot. He was in so much pain, he couldn't even allow his foot with the horseshoe nailed to it to touch the ground. He begged Dunstan to remove it, promising to do anything he asked. The blacksmith only agreed to remove the shoe on one condition. From that day forward, the devil could never enter any building that had a horseshoe hung over its doorway. And the devil agreed. And that is why, to this day, it is not uncommon to find a horseshoe affixed over the doorway of many barns and homes. You all know, too, place the horseshoe in such a way that the tips or edges of the horseshoe must be in the upright position, right? Resembling the letter U, so that the luck doesn't run out? I feel compelled to also tell you that there is a charming piece of neighboring lore that the presence of these horseshoes will also keep witches away, which is absolute horse hockey. In fact, it should be noted that forms of divination using live horses and their skulls after their death has long been a practice of many ancient cultures and supposedly some witches. This now rare custom is referred to as hippomancy. It involves the breeding of certain sacred horses whose actions were believed to predict the outcomes of future events. The patterns of the horse's hoofprints when stepping over hallowed staffs and spears told the diviner what to expect. The presence of a dead horse's skull is a little-known staple used in folk magic. Horses were believed to be psychically powerful, able to perceive unseen spirits, and that this power remained in the skull of the animal after its death. To this day, it's not unheard of to find horse skulls wedged into chimneys and between the boards of gabled ceilings, under fireplace hearths, and beneath the doorways in some old country homes. In Rothbury, England, in 1877, the old town church was sorely in need of repairs, and during the renovations, three pale horse skulls were found hidden in the belfry above the bells. It is believed they were placed there as part of a pagan ritualist spell of protection. One of my favorite uses of the skulls is that where they are used in the making of Mary Lewids. The dead horse's skull is decorated with ribbons and garland, mounted on a pole, and carried around by a person hidden under a sheet and paraded around. They go knocking on doors, asking riddles and wanting to be let in for a drink. Such ghoulish seasonal fun. There's a silly rumor that we have a few here, which shouldn't be a rumor at all. We absolutely have them. Doesn't everyone have a Mary Lewid? No? Not even a miniature one made from a raccoon skull to keep on your desk to make it more cheerful? No. Oh well, I can lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink. Not all of you. Yet. Coincidentally, our Mr. Darling mentioned the word nightmare just before you were about to arrive. Oh, not in reference to you, of course. He's fond of all of our guests for various reasons. But it prompted me to include a nice definition of the magical term for you here. A nightmare, as you know, is a terrible dream in which you, the dreamer, feels helpless as you are tormented by all manner of frightful happenings. Falling into an open grave with the half-rotted corpse of someone you know, being slowly consumed by singing blowflies, an unexpected visit from Irma, perhaps. Any imprisoning dream such as these, where you feel you cannot escape the horror that's overtaking you. The word mare or mera from the Old English refers to a demon or goblin bent on torturing the slumbering vulnerable person. The word nightmare is derived from the German word Nachtmar, or night demon, which denotes an evil spirit or demon that, at night, straddles the dreamer's chest and rides or crushes the breath out of them. There are legends in which the tormenting creature is a witch. I have no further information on this. So, although the word has little to do with horses, seeing horses in your dreams can mean that you are longing for freedom and adventure. They are symbols of strength, power, endurance, and hard work. According to my Aunt Mariah's dream book, horses are also primarily masculine in their symbolic nature and denote desire and pent-up lustful energy. Aunt Mariah is a bit of a romanticist, if you hadn't guessed. And not to beat a dead horse, but I've saved a beloved favorite, a supposedly folklore horse, for the closing of our reading tonight. I want you to depart the library with the vivid image of this unique horse embedded in your mind. I'm thoughtful like that. This horrific horse comes from historic Scotland, more particularly the northern islands of Orkney. The horse is sometimes referred to as the Devil of the Sea. This is the Nuckle of Ee, a creature that is remembered and feared as being pure evil and existing only to inflict terror and suffering upon deserving humans. Believing the monster horse to be Satan in the guise of a horse, the Nuck part of its name refers to Old Nick being the Christian name for Satan. Eyewitnesses claiming to have seen the horse roaming the fields and forests returned in a frenzied, maniacal state, pleading with others to beware of the creature or mutation of creature they had seen. The Nuckle of Ee, which could be as tall as 9 feet, was the skinless combination of a man combined with a demonic horse. All of its red, raw, bloody muscles were exposed with slimy yellow sinews and black veins weaving around the gruesome beast. Often the slumped, fleshless rider with bones poking through its muscles was said to be joined to the back of the devil horse. The beast was rumored to emerge from the sea on its mission to poison crops, livestock, and people like you. As it stalked the land, a foul and deadly vaporous smoke would be exhaled from its vile mouth, the toxic fumes delivering death to every living thing. Oh, Scotland. What a dreamy place. Please let me apologize for the thundering and quaking from below, my dear guests, which has prompted me to think. Now, just as Irma is handing out the survey cards for you to fill out, I've decided to share some further exciting news with you, dear guests. I have recently accomplished a few personal goals within my family that I am being rewarded for. Well, I say rewarded, which I guess is true. The truth doesn't matter so much as the fact that I have been gifted by a distant, but not too distant, uncle of mine with 6 beautiful normal horses. Isn't that nice? There's a chance he's just not up to caring for them or doesn't want to, but that doesn't matter either. They'll be here above ground, on the grounds of the library soon. And as we're never the sort to look a gift horse in the mouth, as it were, we're going to keep them and see what kind of work they're suited for. I've asked Mr. Darling to scout out the help we're going to need to care for them and accommodate them, but I'd like to ask you, too, if you happen to know of anyone like us, if you know what I mean. We're looking for a carpenter and a stable hand, so if you know of anyone like us, please take one of our cards from the information desk and slip it to them, and then wink. Once you've finished filling out your safety card for your protection, please follow Mr. Darling as he leads you unmolested to the exit. And yes, it may be a different pathway from the one you came in through. Please don't ask why. Please don't concern yourself with this. Oh, and my invitation still stands if anyone would like to stay and tease me about having horses as a youth. Anyone? I can close these doors and seclude just you and I. No? No one? Clever crowd. Good night, my dear guests. Good night. I hope you agree with my decision to ask our guests to help us find the help we need, Mr. Darling. I'm beginning to see the urgency of the situation.
Well, you'll be fascinated to know that during your reading, a maid answered a knock at the side entrance and was handed this card by a cloaked figure.
Stephen Strangeways, jack of all trades, the handiest man. If I can't fix it, no one can. Contact via spirit board. Well, are you thinking what I'm thinking, darling?
That he sounds like a stable lad?
Race you to the seance room.
I'll be the winner by your nose!
The Midnight Library would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. We are here because of our beautiful patrons who donate at patreon.com/midnightlibrary. That's where all the real fun happens. Find our weird presence on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And our even weirder merch at redbubble.com/people/midnightlibrary.